If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text tonight, Matthew chapter 27 and verses 24 and 25 as we finish up our series, Truth on Trial, Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." And let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for that song. I just thank you, Lord, for the fact, those of us who know you, that, Lord, you have washed us in your blood. Our sins are gone. We know that we're going to heaven when we die. I thank you, Lord, for Good Friday and the fact that you did die on a cross for our sins. And I just pray for someone listening tonight who does not know you, they've never understood the gospel, and never made that decision for you, Lord, that they would make that decision tonight, be washed in the blood and be set free. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. How many times in the last couple of months have you seen something like that? Video? Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds, the exact same amount of time it takes to sing the happy birthday song two times to prevent the spread of coronavirus. But tonight on Good Friday, the Holy Spirit is asking us to wash our hands too. But not to prevent something, but to get rid of something that we already have. Something that's going to separate us from God for eternity if we don't wash it off our hands. And the text we have in front of us tonight tells us how. We're finishing up a series here tonight at Fox River, a series for Lent called Truth on Trial, looking at the most important trial in the history of the whole wide world when Jesus Christ, who is truth itself, was being judged by Pontius Pilate and by the world, a trial that's still going on to this day. And tonight we finish this series by seeing that we cannot wash our hands of the truth about Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross. And to see that, we turn tonight to Matthew chapter 27 and verses 24 and 25. At this point in the trial, in Matthew 27, Pilate has tried everything he could think of to let Jesus go. But the Jews won't budge. So in our text tonight, Pilate tries to wash his hands of the whole thing and shift the blame. But he can't. And the Holy Spirit is telling us tonight, we can't wash our hands of the blood of Jesus Christ either and his death. Unless we wash our hands in the right way, the way that he intends us to. Our text tonight, Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25, tells us three things that we need to do to really wash our hands and come clean with God and be saved. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to wash our hands, we need to understand why we need to wash them. And that's exactly what Pilate does not understand here. Now, Pilate has tried 100 ways from Sunday to set Jesus free. But verse 24, he finally realizes he's getting nowhere and the Jewish leaders are going to go berserk and going to go ballistic if Jesus doesn't die. So Pilate takes a bowl and some water, and he washes his hands in front of the crowd. And he says, "I am innocent of this man's death. His death is your responsibility." And that's not a Roman thing. That's Jewish law. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 6, Old Testament times, when the elders of a city found a person who had been murdered and couldn't find the perp, that innocent blood had to be accounted for. So the elders of the city would make a sin offering and then wash their hands over top of it to make a public declaration that they had not killed that person and they were innocent of his death. So this is just a Roman custom, a Jewish custom that Pilate had learned from being in Judea those years. And he's using it right here to try to massage his own conscience and pass the buck and rub the Jews' nose in it. You want him crucified? Fine. But I'm not taking the blame for it. His blood's not going to be on my hands because I'm washing my hands of the whole thing. But even though Pilate said he was innocent, that doesn't mean Pilate really was innocent. John chapter 19, verse 11. Earlier in the trial, Jesus told Pilate that even though it was God the Father's will for him to be crucified, human beings were still at fault. And the Jewish leaders had the greater guilt. But notice in verse 11, Jesus does not tell Pilate that he was off the hook either. Pilate had Jesus' blood on his hands too. And he couldn't wash it away. Because even though Pontius Pilate knew very well that Jesus had never done anything wrong, Pilate bowed to the mob and to the crowd and handed Jesus over to be crucified anyway. And the Holy Spirit is very careful in the Bible to tell us everybody here was guilty of handing Jesus over. Judas handed Jesus over to the Jewish authorities, John chapter 18, verse 2. The Jewish authorities handed Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, John chapter 18, verse 25. Pontius Pilate handed Jesus over to the Roman soldiers for crucifixion, John chapter 19, verse 16. And here's the kicker. Every single one of us tonight is guilty of handing Jesus over too. And why? Because ultimately it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. Jesus Christ did not die on a cross on Good Friday for an episode of Survivor or because he didn't have anything else to do. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, Christ bore our sin in his body on the tree. So we are just as responsible for the death of Jesus Christ as if it was us yelling, crucify him, and pounding the nails ourselves. Pilate had Jesus' blood on his hands, but people, listen to me. Every single one of us has Jesus' blood on our hands too. We stand guilty before God with blood on our hands, deserving nothing but hell forever and a day because of our sin. And we need to realize, even though nobody's thinking about it now, that sin is far worse than any COVID-19 virus that everybody's freaking out about today. In fact, the only reason we have COVID-19 is because of sin. Because human sin ruined the perfect world that God created. So it started making bad things like coronaviruses. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. We may have coronavirus on our hands, but we've got sin in our hearts. So sin is not something that we had to catch from somebody else because every single one of us is born with it already in our system. Psalm chapter 51 verse 5. Upper right hand corner is little baby Luna. Baby girl of Christine Musa from that show Flip or Flop. And look at her face. Don't tell me that little girl wasn't already born with a sin nature that's just raring to go like every single one of us. Only 1% of people are going to catch the coronavirus, but all of us catch sin. And 98% of those who catch COVID-19 will recover from it. But see, nobody recovers from sin because Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the result of sin is death. The mortality rate for COVID-19 is only about 1%. But the mortality rate for sin is 100%. One out of every one person who has it dies. Everybody gets it and everybody dies from it. There's your real pandemic. The worst global pandemic in the history of the whole wide world. And yet the world today laughs at it. Oxford University Press just took the word sin out of their dictionary. And why? They said this, because sin is an outdated religious concept that most educated people in the world no longer accept as real. Seriously? People, do we realize why we really need to wash our hands? COVID-19 attacks your respiratory system, but sin attacks everything. Your mind, your body, and your spirit. COVID-19 can destroy your body, but sin can destroy your soul. COVID-19 can separate you from your loved ones for a couple of weeks. Sin can separate you from God for eternity in a place called hell. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 48, don't fear what can kill the body. You fear the one who can cast both body and soul into hell. Unless you wash your hands. The first thing that we need to do in order to wash our hands, we need to understand why we need to wash it. We go on in this text and we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to do in order to wash our hands. We not only need to understand why we need to wash them, we also need to understand how we need to wash them. And that's exactly what Pilate and the Jewish leaders don't understand here. Now, the Center for Disease Control tells us that there are 25,172 germs on every square inch of the surface of the phone that you handle every single day. Which means your cell phone is 10 times dirtier than a toilet bowl. And I'll stop for a couple of seconds here so you can throw up in your mouth a little bit if you need to. And contrary to claims, there is absolutely nothing in the whole wide world that can ever wash 100% of those germs off your hands. The sign you see there is posted now in all public buildings in Round Rock, Texas. Wash your hands like you just got done slicing jalapenos for a batch of nachos and you need to take your contacts out. That's like 20 seconds of scrubbing, y'all. But listen, even that can't do it. Because washing your hands with soap and water, I don't care how long you do it, will only wash off 25 to 75% of all germs. Alcohol-based hand sanitizer will only wash 99% of all germs and bacteria and fungus and viruses off your hands. Notice 99%, not 100%. And all the antibacterial soap and hand sanitizer in the world will never wash the blood of Jesus off your hands or take away the guilt from that sin. See the picture? Even after all the washing, traces of blood are still on those hands. But see, that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross on the first Good Friday. Back in the Old Testament, God told His people to kill goats or sheep or bulls, and that the blood would atone for or cover up their sin. Not take it away, just cover it up. And that only temporarily, because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it was really impossible for the blood of animals to take away anybody's sin. Because all those sacrifices were just a preview of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 29, Jesus was the Lamb of God who does what with sin? Not just covers it up, but takes it away. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we don't need to wash our hands of the blood of Jesus. We need to wash our hands with the blood of Jesus. You confess your sin to God, put your faith in what Jesus did for you at the cross. God takes the blood off your hands, applies it to your heart, and 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All of it. Charmin claims their toilet paper will get you Charmin clean. Zest claims their soap will get you zestfully clean. But only the blood of Jesus Christ will really get you spiritually clean and forgiven of your sin and right with God. But sadly enough, most people today don't realize that. They don't think about it. They don't even care about it. Because most people today don't think sin is any big deal. Last February, pop singer Katy Perry announced that she was pregnant by her boyfriend, actor Orlando Bloom. But see, God says sex outside of marriage is a sin. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, isn't God just being nitpicky? No, God's just perfectly holy and perfectly just. And because God is perfection, He demands perfection from us. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You say, Kevin, nobody's perfect. That's exactly the point. And that's exactly why we need Jesus to transfer His perfection to us by faith in what He did for us at the cross so that we can be saved. Well, Kevin, at least I'm not as bad as Adolf Hitler or John Wayne Gacy or Jeffrey Epstein. Well, that's good to know, but so what? Because God doesn't grade on a curve. God judges every single one of us according to a standard of 100% absolute perfection. And because of that, Romans 3:23, we all fall. We all fail. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no difference. Adolf Hitler, Jeffrey Epstein, you, me, the guy behind the tree, we're all in the same boat. Up a creek without a paddle. We're lost without Christ. Well, Kevin, I don't need Jesus. I'll just do some more good things to make up for the bad things that I did. But you can't do that because we can't ever stop sinning. And we just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Last November, in Missoula, Montana, a 48-year-old man named Daniel Stein walked into an Arby's, ordered a roast beef, and asked for a plastic cup for some water. Then he walked right over to the drink dispenser and filled that plastic cup with soda. And when a female employee tried to stop him, instead of admitting that what he had done was wrong, he kicked that girl in the stomach. And then instead of stopping right there before it got any worse, he took off and ran and hid in the bathroom of a Denny's restaurant, which was right next door. So the police came. And instead of stopping it right there before it got any worse, before consequences got any worse than that, he punched the cop. And again, instead of surrendering, he took on the whole force that was there. And eventually had to be tased. So Daniel Stein finally got arrested for felony robbery and felony assault for a cup of soda. We just keep sinning and sinning and sinning, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So Psalm chapter 49, verse 7, there is no way in the world that we could ever save ourselves from our own sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can try the New Age route with mantras and meditation and candles and magic crystals. You can shave your head, paint yourself orange, and bark at the moon. But just like that kid trying to wash his hands in the urinal in that bathroom, you wash your hands with muddy water, you wash your hands, they'll never come clean. We need to wash our hands in the blood of the Lamb. And folks, do we have any idea the incredible things that God can do with our lives when we do that? Mike Lindell grew up in Chaska, Minnesota, trying everything he could possibly think of to make money, from raising pigs to cleaning carpets to running restaurants. But then in 1982, he dropped out of college and started drinking and started doing cocaine and then crack cocaine. And he lost his businesses. He lost his house. His wife divorced him. So addicted, one day in 2008, after being so wired he hadn't slept in 19 straight days, his three drug dealers in Minneapolis refused to sell him any more crack and did an intervention with him. Folks, when your drug dealer does an intervention with you, you know you got a serious problem. But see, Mike Lindell was a functioning addict. And back in 2003, God had given him a dream to start a company called MyPillow to make the best pillows in the entire world. And Mike Lindell started selling them on the road, at trade shows and county fairs and kiosks at the mall. But then when the pillow business really kicked in, he realized he had to get rid of that drug habit or he was never going to be able to take advantage of the incredible opportunity that God had given him. So January 16, 2009, Mike Lindell cried out to Jesus Christ and asked him to take that drug habit away. And this is what Mike Lindell said happened then. I prayed that day, Lord, take away my desire to do drugs and I'm all yours. And the next morning, that desire was just gone. Everything was gone. And it never came back. And I felt a peace like I've never experienced before in my life. And I've been sober ever since. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and His blood forgave me and set me completely free. And my life has just been one miracle story after another ever since that day. The blood of Christ is what sets people free. And folks, Mike Lindell did that. His MyPillow business absolutely went through the roof. He took out an ad in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He did an infomercial in 2011 that expanded and multiplied his business 10 times over. And today, MyPillow is going like gangbusters, with 1,500 employees pushing out 25,000 pillows a day, along with bed sheets, bath towels, pet beds, you name it. And Mike Lindell uses his company for ministry because he uses the proceeds, $300 million a year, to support all kinds of ministries and all kinds of programs for homeless people and drug addicts and U.S. soldiers and military veterans and Salvation Army, on and on and on. 2 years ago, it was Mike Lindell who funded that movie Unplanned about Abby Johnson, the former abortion clinic director, who got saved and became a Christian and turned into pro-life activist. And to this day, Mike Lindell goes all over the world speaking to anybody who will listen, telling them about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from sin and to set them free. And last March the 30th, Mike Lindell was in Washington, D.C. at a coronavirus press conference with President Donald Trump. And during a speech, he made the announcement that he was turning 75% of his company into making surgical medical masks for doctors and nurses all over America. And at the end of his speech, Mike Lindell said this: God gave us grace on November 6, 2016 to change the course we were on as a nation. God had been taken out of our schools and our lives, and our nation had turned its back on God. So I encourage you to use this time at home to get back into the Word, read your Bibles, and spend time with your families. With everybody in this great country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever. And even though Mike Lindell caught seven kinds of hell for saying those words, there's the message. People need to turn to the Lord and let the blood of Jesus Christ set them free. People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how lost or hopeless you think you are. Jesus Christ took Mike Lindell, a homeless, bankrupt, divorced crackhead, washed him clean, set him free, and turned him into a gazillionaire who's blessing millions and millions of people all over the world in a billion different ways. And if Jesus Christ could do that for Mike Lindell, good gravy, people, what in the world? What in the world could Jesus Christ do for you? If only you would wash your hands. The second thing that we need to do in order to wash our hands, we need to understand how we're supposed to wash them. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do in order to wash our hands. We not only need to understand why we need to wash them, we not only need to understand how we're supposed to wash them, but third, we need to understand when we're supposed to wash them. When do we make that decision for Jesus Christ? And the answer, of course, is ASAP. Now, Pilate didn't make that decision, because Pilate said he was innocent of Jesus' death. But then Pilate's guilt rang all throughout history, echoed all down through the ages through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Jesus was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. So Pilate was always going to be known as the person who crucified Jesus, and it haunted him till the day he died. 37 A.D., 4 years after this trial, Pontius Pilate was fired as governor of Judea by Roman Emperor Tiberius and called back to Rome in disgrace. And then 1 year after that, 38 A.D., Pontius Pilate died by committing suicide. And Roman history tells us up to the very nanosecond that he offed himself, he was constantly, compulsively washing his hands over and over and over again. He could never wash the blood of Jesus Christ off his hands for eternity. The Jewish leaders here, they never made a decision for Jesus either. Verse 24, when Pilate said, Jesus, I am not responsible for this man's death. His blood is on your hands. Verse 25, the Jewish leader said, bring it on. They just thought Jesus was somebody dangerous, a madman. So his blood be on us and on our children. We will gladly take responsibility for him dying. But the problem is, ever since then, too many people have taken that to mean that all Jewish people at all times and all places were Christ killers. Forever cursed and condemned by God for eternity. And sadly enough, all throughout history, that idea was used to justify all kinds of anti-Semitism and Jewish persecution and massacres during the Crusades and pogroms and ghettos and yellow stars, all culminating in the Holocaust in World War II. So the Holocaust was punishment from God that the Jews called down on themselves and on their children because they rejected Jesus and had Him crucified 2,000 years ago. But people, listen to me. That is absolutely ridiculous. Because not all Jews did reject Jesus. In fact, a lot of Jewish people believed in Him and followed Him. Thousands of Jewish people cheered Him like the Cubs World Series when He donkeyed into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It was only the Jewish leaders here in this text, who condemned Him and called down punishment from God on themselves and on their children. And they got that punishment in spades 40 years later when the Romans came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 A.D., but that punishment absolutely is not for all Jewish people for all time. Because Paul says, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, the Jews are still God's chosen people. And God has never, ever, ever, ever rejected them. And just 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection on Pentecost Sunday, the disciple named Peter stood up in the streets of Jerusalem and said to the very Jews who had condemned and crucified Jesus that salvation was available to them and to their children. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And why? Because the gospel is for the Jew first, then for the Gentile. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So Jewish people can get saved today just like everybody else does, through personal repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, by making that decision for Jesus. But the big question tonight is, have you made that decision for Jesus? Have you made that decision to wash your hands in His blood? Because believe you me, that blood still very much matters to God. The Bible tells us the very first thing that Jesus did, the very nanosecond He died on the cross, He went to heaven and presented the blood of His sacrifice to God the Father as payment for our sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. And that blood is an eternal covenant with God, guaranteeing our forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. And in heaven, Jesus will always look like a lamb who was slain. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. And Jesus will always have those nail prints in His hands and His feet as an eternal reminder of the blood that He poured out on the cross. Don't tell me that God has forgotten about the blood. And I got to tell you, I haven't forgotten about it either. You can call me old-fashioned, you can call me outdated, you can call me a dinosaur, I still believe in the blood of Jesus. You can call me sentimental, you can call me fundamental, you can call me judgmental, you can call me completely mental. I don't care if it is 2020, the Bible is still true, Jesus is still Lord, the wages of sin is still death, the gift of God is still eternal life, and the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin. So James chapter 4, verse 8, for the love of God, sinners, wash your hands. Wash your hands. That blood of Jesus on your hands can either save you forever or it can condemn you forever. That's your choice. And hell is too hot and eternity is too long for you to be wrong. You laugh at this, you ignore it, you blow this off, You will never wash the blood of Jesus Christ off of your hands either. And you will call down God's punishment on yourself too. For eternity. You don't trust Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away. You treat as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that can sanctify you. You turn your back on the greatest proof of the love and the mercy of God, Him putting His only Son on a cross in your place to take your punishment. God have mercy on your ever-loving soul, because till the very last tick-tock of eternity, your sin will never be forgiven. It will never be atoned for. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 16. But see, you can wash your hands. You can make that decision for Jesus Christ. Now, today, because now is the time of salvation. It is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. And why in the world would anybody ever put this off? For God's sakes, people, wash your hands. Back in 1818 in Hungary, Ignaz Semmelweis was born into a world of dying women. Because even the best hospitals in the entire world back then were losing one out of every six new moms to a deadly condition called childbed fever. Because back then, doctors would start their day at the hospitals by doing autopsies on the new moms who had died the previous day in childbirth. And then they would go immediately and examine pregnant women and deliver their babies without ever stopping to wash their hands in between. Because in the early 1800s, nobody had any idea what germs were. So doctors didn't realize they were transferring bacteria from the dead bodies to the new moms and infecting them and killing them too. One out of every six. So Ignaz Semmelweis was the first doctor in the history of the world to realize the problem was the germs on the doctor's hands. So he himself put together a special cleaning solution of chlorine and lime and special wash basins. So he washed his hands in between the time he did the autopsies and delivering babies. And in 11 years of practice, and after delivering 8,753 babies, he'd only lost 184 moms. One out of 150, not one out of six. So Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis spent the greatest part of his career, every spare moment that he had, debating and arguing and lecturing and begging and pleading with doctors to wash their hands, because it was the germs on the doctor's hands that were killing the moms. For the love of God, wash your hands! But see, they were doctors, not killers. And doctors had been delivering babies without washing their hands for thousands of years, so no mad Hungarian was going to change their minds. So they laughed at him. And they ignored him. And they blew it off. And Ignaz Semmelweis wrote article after article, but medical journals refused to print them. He asked to present at the prestigious Vienna Medical Society, but they refused him and wouldn't even publish his findings. And after years and years and years of beating his head against the wall, he got so mad and so depressed, he started losing his mind. All the laughs of the doctors and the death rattles of thousands of women ringing in his ears. And then in 1865, just 2 weeks after he was admitted in an insane asylum in Hungary, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis was found dead at the age of 47, beaten to death by the guards there. And the other doctors threw out all of his cleaning solution and all of his hand-washing basins. And one out of every six new moms continued to die. Until doctors like Louis Pasteur and Joseph Lister discovered there really was such a thing as germs. And started advocating for antiseptic surgical practices, validating absolutely everything that Dr. Semmelweis had stood for and preached his entire life. And today, his ideas are standard medical practice all over the world. At the last medical conference that Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis was allowed to speak at in Berlin in 1859, this is how he closed his speech. Childbed fever is caused by decomposed material conveyed to a womb by the hands of doctors who refuse to wash. I have shown how it can be prevented. I have proved all that I have said. But while we talk, gentlemen, women are dying. I'm not asking anything world-shaking. I am asking you only to wash. For God's sakes, wash your hands. Two 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, Jesus Christ died on the cross for people's sins. So for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been crying out to people, telling them that the problem is sin. Because sin infects people and kills them and destroys them. And some people, it destroys for eternity. So the Holy Spirit has been begging and pleading over and over and over again with people to wash their hands, to trust Jesus so that their sins can be forgiven and they can be made clean and they can be set free and they can walk with God in blessing in this life and then go to heaven and be with God in the next one. But how many people laugh at that and ignore it and blow it off and go to hell? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people every single day in America. The question is tonight, what about you? The Holy Spirit has shown how that can be prevented. And the Holy Spirit has proven over and over again everything that He said was true. And while people talk and talk and talk and hem and haw and go back and forth about a decision and try to make excuses and justify everything they do, people are dying and going to hell. And one of these days, it's going to be you. And all you need to do is wash your hands. For God's sakes, wash your hands in the blood of the Lamb and save your soul before it's too late. Come to Christ. And wash your hands. 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross. And tonight, on this Good Friday, every single one of us needs to make a decision. What are we going to do with the blood of Jesus? Because even though you can't see it with physical eyes, that blood is on your hands. And that blood ain't going anywhere. The Bible tells us that innocent blood constantly cries out to God. And it testifies against the people who shed it. And Jesus has the most innocent blood of all. And the people who shed that blood is us. So tonight, you've got to make a choice. What are you going to do with the blood of Jesus Christ? That blood can testify for you, or it can testify against you. That blood on your hands can save you for eternity, or it can condemn you for eternity. You can trust in that blood and be saved. You can ignore that blood and be lost. For heaven or for hell. And I know there are many, many people who are listening to this sermon right now. You've already made that decision for Jesus Christ. I'm talking to the other ones. For God's sakes, wash your hands and be saved. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for the God that You are. Just thank You, Lord. 2,000 years ago, even though our sin was ugly and it was bad and it was horrible, You took all that sin upon Yourself when You died on the cross. You loved us so much. Your mercy and Your grace was so incredible, unbelievably amazing. You came down and did something for us that we couldn't do on our own. You saved us. And I just thank You for that salvation. I thank You, Lord, for opening my eyes to it when I was 21 years old. I just pray for somebody listening to this sermon right now. They realize, Lord, they need to put their sin under Your blood. They need to wash their sins in the blood of the Lamb so they can be made whole and they can be set free. Lord, I just pray on this Good Friday that many, many people would come to know You. They'd be reminded of that old, old story that's very, very true. There is salvation through the blood that You shed on the cross. I pray, Lord, that right now they would confess their sins, ask You to come into their heart, be their Savior, be the Lord of their life, set them free from their sin, and You can start working and doing incredible things in them. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.